بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. A fundamental part of our deen addresses the issue of the food we consume needing to be halal. Our livelihood, what we earn and what we consume needs to be halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran has mentioned this commandment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in several ahadith has mentioned the importance of this and the warnings against a person consuming haram. We famously understand that if a person consumes haram, then his ibadat are not accepted. Among the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that person who will consume haram, then فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ. Jahannam deserves that body more. That body that has been nourished with haram. لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ جَسَدٌ غُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. That body that has been nourished with haram will not enter Jannat. وَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ comes in other riwayat, that the fire of Jahannam deserves that body more. And I want us to understand the far-reaching implications of consuming that which is doubtful and unlawful, even in this dunya. The akhirat is the ultimate, and that is sufficient a deterrent. The fact that consuming haram will lead a person to Jahannam is sufficient to deter us from haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith of Muslim Sharif mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the believers the same instruction of eating pure and halal sustenance that He has given to the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'amalu saliha. Eat from that which is pure and do good deeds. Ya ayyuhan nasu kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. O people, eat from that which is on earth which is halal, lawful and pure and good. So the same command Allah gave Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, Allah gave to mankind. And that is the command of consuming that which is lawful, halal. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions an example of a person. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلَ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ. Person who was disheveled, dust, covered in dust. يُطِيلُ السَّفَرِ. He is on a long journey. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلَ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ. He is disheveled, he is covered in dust. And يَرْفَعُ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He raises his hands to the sky out of need because he's on journey and he's stranded. And he says, يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي, calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and assistance. So on one hand, he's in a very pitiful state. He's on safar. We know du'as are accepted on a journey. Secondly, he is covered in dust, his hair is all disheveled. That's another pitiful state. And the hadith mentions, people who are like that, Allah accepts their du'as more readily. Like we ourselves, we take pity on a person who looks pitiful. Thirdly, he raised his hands and made du'a. The hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif says, this is also from among the ways in which the dua will get accepted. When you make dua, you raise your hands and make dua. Allah will not allow that hand to drop empty. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer that dua when you make dua raising your hands. So this is a third reason for this person's duas to be accepted. And fourthly, he used the call, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. There is a hadith in Musnad Ahmad that says, a person who repeats Ya Rabbi thrice in his duas are definitely accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person had four reasons for the dua to be accepted. Each one of these four, if they are found individually, it's sufficient for the dua to be accepted. He had four combined reasons for the acceptance of his dua. But his dua was not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامُ. What he was eating was haram. What he was wearing was from haram sources. What he drank was from haram sources. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, then how will his dua ever be accepted? Rasulullah says, فَأَنَّ how is it possible for his dua to be accepted? Why? Because he consumed haram. Consuming haram doesn't only mean eating something that is purely haram, like for example pork or non-zabiha meat, etc., or consuming alcohol, that is definitely haram. But consuming haram stretches back to the source of one's income as well. You are buying that chicken that is slaughtered and is halal. Your meat that you are buying is from a reputable Muslim butcher. So it is halal, inshallah. But the money that you are using to purchase that was earned from haram sources. Whether that be, for example, you loaned money to someone and you claimed interest on that, or whether it is because the transaction itself, the things, the items you were dealing in were makruh and haram, whether it was because you cheated, you deceived people, you lied, and that is how you earned. So what you are eating at the end in itself was halal, but your livelihood, your money that you had earned to purchase that was through haram sources. So that will have the same effect. Now here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed us that the person's du'as are not accepted if he is consuming haram. A man's du'a won't be accepted. Du'a is the essence of ibadah. That means the man's ibadat are not accepted. So if somebody's income is not halal, then his salah, his fasting, his charity obviously, his du'a like we see in this hadith, and his ibadat in general will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, his dini life, his spiritual life will be like dead. That he'll be engaging in the outer forms of these ibadat, but the haqiqat and the reality of that will be void from his life. Similarly, ulama explain that when a person consumes haram, another repercussion in this dunya is that his heart becomes hard. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, great imam of his time, mentions that when people consume haram, then that contributes to the heart becoming hard. And when the heart becomes hard, then it is very difficult for anything to penetrate. No amount of advice is making any difference to this man. People are advising him, but people are even threatening him, or he's seeing lessons around him, but it's making no difference to him. His heart is not changing. He's not getting that tawfiq to make that change. A lot of the time, the cause for that is because he's what is consuming is haram. So ensure that he is earning, and he's earning, the source of his income is halal, and what he is consuming needs to be halal. That will contribute towards softening his heart, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah has mentioned. And we know today this is a great malady that has engulfed our societies. That there's so much of admonition, so much advice, and so much of Islamic information being shared, but the effect is not there. In the early days, if you look, in the days of our parents or grandparents, then they knew very less. There wasn't so many masajid. There were not so much of bayans and lectures taking place. There was not so much of Islamic literature being shared. There was no social media. So they didn't have access to all of this. So what they knew was limited and less. But they practiced on it. They got tawfiq to practice. They practiced on it. And secondly, it made a difference in their lives. You saw iman in their lives. They led clean lives and upright lives. So one reason for that is they earned also a hard livelihood. They worked hard for that livelihood, halal livelihood. And that had an effect on their hearts and cleansed their hearts and softened their hearts. And thereafter, mashallah, when they only heard one bayan a week in the Jum'ah, there was no weekly majlis or two majlises, and there was no somebody sending a voice clip of some Hazrat and Mawlana, and no other, only once a week they heard that advice, and mashallah, it changed their lives. They implemented it. They took it to heart. So eating and ensuring that what we are consuming is halal affects that aspect of our life as well. Another issue in the dunya, if we inspect the lives of our pious predecessors, we find that they enjoyed their ibadat to a great extent. And we spoke about this yesterday. Enjoyment in ibadah. They could spend hours in dua, hours. Mawlana Imam al-Hasan Sahib rahimahullah, my father rahimahullah, used to say, up to 4 hours at a time in dua. Imagine, he must have been enjoying that so much that he couldn't put his hands down. We find people who spend the entire night in tahajjud. Some people, mashallah, get the habit of tilawat of Qur'an. They're enjoying it so much that the whole day is this Qur'an. They get ladhatul ta'a. Ladhat, the enjoyment of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a sweetness of iman we hear about. The sweetness of iman. Sweetness in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one phenomenon in our deen. And the pious and experience that joy. Example of this, Sayyidina Abu Rayhana radiallahu anhu went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in jihad. And he came back after a period of time. When he came home, like normal after a lengthy absence, the man comes back home, his wife, you know, she adorns herself, she's waiting to meet him. So when he comes home, his wife is there also waiting for him, but he starts his tahajjud salah. He starts his salah at night after Isha, and he only finishes it at the adhan of Fajr. He spent the whole night in ibadat of Allah, after being away from his wife for so long. Many people, after being away for so long, will miss their farz namaz also. This was his tahajjud nafil, whole night he spent in nafil. Next morning his wife is telling him, Ya Aba Rayhana, غزوت وتعبت ثم رجعت. You know, you went out in jihad, you tired yourself, you've returned, you spent your time. أما لنا فيك من نصيب. Like many of us here, don't you have some time for me? Today when the wives complain, don't you have some time for me? Many a time that's legitimate, because the time we are not giving them, we're not spending in tahajjud. We're spending with friends, we're spending on the phone, we're spending chatting to someone. So many a wife has this legitimate claim that you're not spending time with us. Anyway, this sahabiya also had that same claim that, you know, don't you have time for me? Amalana fika min nasib. Don't we have a share also with you? So Abu Rayhana radiallahu anhu tells her, he says, you know, when I started my tahajjud, then the akhirat, the ayat of Jannat, etc., I was reading, that I was enjoying it so much, I forgot that you were next to me. In other words, had you crossed my mind, then maybe you had a claim. But I never even think about you. Which shows us that he was enjoying his salah and enjoying the tahajjud and tilawat of Quran more than spending that night with his wife after a lengthy absence. That was the extent of enjoyment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put and had given him in his ibadat. And ulama mention this all the time. That when a person tastes the ladhat of ta'ah, the ladhat and the ecstasy, the enjoyment of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that salat there is great enjoyment. In tilawat of Quran there is great enjoyment, there's ecstasy. If a person is not feeling that enjoyment, is not feeling that ecstasy, Quran has promised us that in the dhikr of Allah is the contentment of the heart. You're making the dhikr of Allah, but you're not feeling that contentment. So this is one spiritual malady that the ulama highlight. And among the treatments for it, it's a lengthy discussion, but among the treatments for it is that check your income. Your income and what you are consuming, if that is from doubtful sources or haram sources, then that is one of the causes for a person being deprived of the ecstasy of ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is deprived from enjoying the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ensuring that what we consume and what we earn is from purely halal sources is absolutely essential. Another ill effect of being lax in this regard is the actions that thereafter we or our wives and children thereafter carry out. The man is making an effort, is earning a livelihood, etc. But he keeps falling into temptation, keeps falling into sin, guna. He's not getting tawfiq to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not getting tawfiq to read his salat. Or his wife is becoming, you know, unreasonable, for example, to him. Disobedient to him. His children are becoming disobedient. There is a direct link between what we consume and what we do. What we consume, they say, you are what you eat. And in the verse, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Eat from that which is pure and wholesome and do good deeds. Meaning, if you eat what is pure and wholesome, then what you will do also will be pure and wholesome, will be good. In the dua that we had discussed after Fajr Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read this dua every day after Fajr. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. Oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge. Wa rizqan tayyiba. And pure sustenance. Thereafter, wa amalam mutaqabbala. And accepted deeds. That if what you are consuming is pure, this will lead you on to doing those deeds that will become acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if what you're eating is impure, what you're feeding your children is impure, in other words, unlawful, then what they will do also will be unlawful. So one major contributing factor to the discord in the homes, disobedience of the children to their parents, etc., is because we have failed. What we are providing them with sometimes is from shady sources. The Salaf-e-Saliheen in the earlier generations, the women used to plead with the husbands when they leave in the morning that you are going out to earn a livelihood, make sure that it is from pure and halal sources. Make sure that it is from pure and halal sources because we can bear the pangs of hunger if you can't come back home with something. But we cannot bear the pain of the fire of Jahannam. If you're going to feed us haram, it's going to ultimately lead us there. Coming back to the first hadith we discussed on this topic, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that body which is nourished with haram, Jahannam is most deserving of it. Why? Because once you eat haram, you will do haram. Then naturally that leads a person on to the path of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Unfortunately, the common notion today is that we have become lax in this regard. What are we consuming? What are we, and how is our earnings? Where are our investments? Are these things Sharia compliant or not? Or is it that the only thing that concerns me is my bank balance must increase, my returns must increase, irrespective of how it is coming? That is wrong. That is why we find these maladies have spread more and more and permeated into the society. Disobedience and discord in the homes. No enjoyment in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart doesn't feel like you are, you know, doing anything. There's no effect in the heart. You are listening to one bayan after another. Sometimes going out in jamaat and going out in the path of Allah. But the change is not happening. And that we are falling into temptation and sin and guna all the time. Every turn when there is some opportunity to sin, the man is obliging. He's falling in. He can't practice restraint. This is all a direct result of what we are consuming not being permissible. Colonel Amiruddin rahimahullah was a great da'i of his time. He lived, passed away not many years ago, maybe 15 years or 20 years ago, Allahu alam. He visited our country many times. He was from Canada. And he was a colonel in his early days. So mashallah, he would speak like that also. And he had great effect in his da'wat, great effect in his bayans. Many people, mashallah, changed their lives attending his one bayan. And mashallah, Allah changed their lives. Sometimes, you know, he met people on the street and he spoke to them openly and, you know, crudely. But it had effect and they changed their lives. He was a very unique da'i, mashallah, fill his qabr ul-nur. I remember him once mentioning, he says that in America, now he's speaking about the 90s. Today, the entire dunya is one global village. There was a time where certain things only used to happen, you know, across the Atlantic. Only used to happen, you know, in America. Or was only available in America. Now everything is everywhere, unfortunately. Anything you want to buy also, you want to purchase also, it's no more exclusive to that country. It's found everywhere. Everything has been commercialized. Multinational brands. And every sin and fitna also that is taking place, doesn't, if it's there, it's happening everywhere else also in the dunya. So the entire dunya has become one now. So that's why what is mentioning about America at that time is actually the haqiqat of this time everywhere. And not specific to that country. He says in America, a muttaqi, a pious person, somebody who's cautious, somebody who watches what he eats, what he consumes. He doesn't just eat haphazardly, he looks and he checks. He says in 1 year, he would have unknowingly consumed one pig. There is so much of contamination that in 1 year, after being cautious, he would have ended up consuming one pig. And that was 30 years ago in one country of the world. Today everything is everywhere. What I'm trying to say is that the more contamination and the more haram that is spreading in our society, the less cautious we are becoming. The more we are letting our guard down, and then we are faced with, and we are beset with all these problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of understanding. So when it comes to our earnings and our livelihood, find out from the ulama. It comes to our investments, find out, is this permissible? Can I invest in this particular company or those shares, etc.? Is it permissible for me to do this? Like that, what we are consuming, where we are buying it from, what are the ingredients? When we are traveling, today many people are traveling. And the travel is ever increasing. People are traveling today more than ever before. So whether you are traveling locally or abroad, at that time also we got to check, what are we consuming? Because the effect of that haram will be such that it will affect everything. Then we can beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua and be in the most pitiful state, like the hadith mentions in Muslim Sharif. Four reasons for his dua to be accepted. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us it's far-fetched for his dua to be accepted. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. How? How will his dua ever be accepted? When what he consumed was some haram, what his wedding was earned through haram sources. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding. Allah give us tawfiq of becoming more cautious regarding this and instilling this into our children. Because as time is going to go along, it's going to get worse and worse. If at that time in the 90s, a muttaqi would have consumed one pig in 1 year, imagine now. Imagine now what would be the condition. So it is important for us to understand this as one principle of life. Like it is important to read our salah, like it is important to give our zakat, and many people have the habit now in Ramadan, and we tell our children also, and then we give fitra also. Like it is important to fast in the month of Ramadan, like it is important at the time of Qurbani to do our Qurbani and slaughter our animals. One fundamental principle of our life should be the consumption of halal. And we should be emphasizing that on our children as well. They will see us being cautious. They will see us, you know what, I can't eat from this place. And I can't eat at the aeroplane because I don't know if this is halal or not. They see us being cautious, then they will learn, inshallah. But if we ourselves are not cautious, then what's going to happen? What's going to happen to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and save the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and give us the realization of the importance of the consumption of halal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with soft hearts that will take heed when we listen to advice. Allah bless us with that enjoyment and ladhat in his obedience and in his ta'ah and ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us by accepting our ibadat and accepting our du'as. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately save us from the fire of Jahannam and grant us entry into Jannah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا ولا تشقنا بمعصيتك اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان ربنا ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا اجعلنا مقيمين للصلاة ومن ذريتنا ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب اللهم إنا نسألك تمام النعمة ودوام العافية وحسن الخاتمة وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.